For many years now, I have been a subscriber to probably one of the most successful magazines of our generation. It first came in March of 1923, and since then it carried the title that it bears today, Time. Time magazine. It's a combination of news and opinion. Now, there is nothing eye-catching especially in its title, but it does capture what is common of all. Yung karaniwan sa lahat ng tao ay time, panahon, oras. Ano man ang mga uri ng pagkatao, mayaman, mahirap, ano man ang lahi, ano man ang itsura, lahat ay may pare-parehong panahon, 24 na oras sa isang araw. This is the one thing that everybody in this world has absolute equality of. We all have the same time. And that makes time probably the most common thing, but it is also the most distinguishing between people. Ito man ang pinakakaraniwan, ito rin ang masasabi nating pinakanagkakaiba-iba ang mga tao ay sa paggamit nila ng panahon. And we are now coming to that part of Ecclesiastes which is indisputably the most popular, the most quoted portion. Dumarating tayo sa bahagi ng Ecclesiastes na pinaka-popular, pinaka-bantog, at ito rin ang pinaka-masasabi nating pinaka-malimit na maging sitas ng mga talumpati at marami pang mga okasyon. Now, that is not to say this is the best understood portion. It is not. On the contrary, it is very hard to understand. I used several commentaries, consulted several references, and I found it quite hard to understand. But this is a wonderful flash of wisdom from the preacher, and that we need to appreciate this. We have followed Ecclesiastes in his quest for understanding what makes sense of life in the face of its brevity. Anong nagbibigay katuturan sa buhay sa harap ng kaiklian nito? Yan ang kanyang suliranin na hinaharap at binibigyan ng solusyon. He tried the library of books. That is, he tried wisdom. He tried every party available. That is, he tried pleasure. And the last time, last Sunday, we saw him as the workaholic. A life of stressful demands in the office. And in the process, relations suffer. In each case, Ecclesiastes smashes upon this dead-end wall called death. And the painful realization, life is brief. Kaya anuman yung kanyang subukin, sinubok niya ang karunungan, sinubok niya ang kasayahan, sinubok niya ang maging abala sa trabaho, at bawat subukin niya ay humahampas dito sa pader ng kamatayan na nagpapaalala sa kanya na kaikli ng buhay. Kaya anuman yung tila pakinabang ng bawat niyang sinubok, eh dumarating pa rin sa parehong suliranin. Marunong ka nga. Maikli naman ang buhay mo. Mamamatay ka rin kagaya ng mangmang. Masaya ka nga. Pero kahit sa gitna ng kasayahan mo, maaari kang dalawin ng kamatayan. At mag-abala ka man sa trabaho at maging matagumpay ka sa iyong trabaho, ano mangyayari? Hindi mo dadalhin sa kamatayan at maaaring iwanan mo sa isang taong magpapabaya sa iyong pinaghirapan. Yan ang kanyang laging suliranin. And so, as he deals with this burden, we now come to an important flash of wisdom. I invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And let's read verses 1 to 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, A time to tear and a time to sue. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So here is the most popular, the most quoted part of Ecclesiastes, but as I've said, not necessarily the best understood. And we will try to understand it at least in its gist. The thesis is right there on the opening verse, 3 verse 1. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Or a better translation is by the NASB, there is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. And after giving that thesis, what follows are 14 pairs of opposites. Matapos yung pangungusap na yon na may panahon sa bawat pangyayari, ang sumunod ay 14 na magkakatambal, na magkakasalungat ang isinunod ng may akda. 14 pairs of opposites to describe these various events in time. Now, these 14 pairs, of course, are not meant to be exhaustive. They are just suggestive of the mixture that transpires in life. Yung mga magkakasalungat na mga nangyayari. Now, what I will do, I suggest, is I will divide my analysis of this important portion between now and the next Lord's Day. For now, I'd like us to enter into the preacher's point about the various events that transpire in time. And then next Lord's Day, God willing, we shall look into the preacher's introduction of the concept of eternity. And I think that is the way we can appreciate best what the writer or what the preacher is trying to say. So first, this afternoon, my message is this. God is in sovereign control of the events in the time of our brief life. Ang Diyos ay may soberanong control sa mga pangyayari ng ating panahon sa maikli nating buhay. God is in sovereign control of the events in the time of our brief life. The sense that you get of the preacher's description is that these are events that take place of which we have no control. Ang pinag-uusapan dito mga pangyayari ay mga bagay na ipinahihintulot ng Diyos, yung mga bagay na wala tayong control. It is obvious in the very first pair, the two events which are the terminals of life, a time to be born and a time to die. Who has control of that? We all have to grapple with events in our lives, and most of these events are not ours to determine. Now, how are we to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in the events that transpire in life? Paano natin kikilalanin ang pagkasoberano ng Diyos sa mga pangyayari sa ating buhay? In two ways, I suggest. First, He balances the opposite events. He balances opposite events. And secondly, He schedules appropriate events. So in these two ways, we acknowledge that God is sovereign, and this is, as I have said, a flash of wisdom for the preacher. After seeing the problem in each case that he tried, wisdom, pleasure, workaholism, each one smashes on this dead-end wall of death that tells you life is brief no matter what you try. Now, in this brief life, the way to have wisdom is acknowledge God's sovereignty. And how is God sovereign? He balances opposite events. He schedules appropriate events. Unang-una, binabalansin niya ang magkakasalungat na mga pangyayari. He balances opposite events. This is the major point of these 14 pairs. They are opposites. And the point is that they happen to everyone. The opposites can be very start, birth and death, crying and laughing, killing and healing. Some opposites are ours to decide, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to be silent, a time to speak. So lahat ng uri ng mga magkakasalungat ay pinagsasama-sama niya rito. Ang punto niya ay yung karanasan natin, experience is a mixture of positive and negative, of blessings and afflictions, of gains and pains. That's what life is. Ang buhay natin ay pinaghalo ng mga positibo at negatibo, mga pagpapala at mga kahirapan, mga pakinabang at mga kawalan. Pinaghalo-halo yan sa ating buhay. If we had the control, what do you think you and I will choose? We will always choose for ourselves the gain, the blessing, and the positive. Or, if we were to choose for our enemies, we would probably choose for them always that which is painful, affliction. But you see, that is just the point. We are not the ones in control, whether for ourselves or for others. Wala sa atin ang control, sa atin mang sarili o sa ibang mga tao, hindi tayo ang magpapasya ng mga mangyayari sa kanino mang buhay. Hindi tayo magpapasya sa buhay natin, hindi tayo magpapasya sa buhay ninuman. Someone else is in control, and it is wisdom to acknowledge so. And that one in control is the sovereign God. Now let me explain that simply acknowledging that the sovereign God is in control is not without problems. Without instruction, even that acknowledgement can produce wrong attitudes. Consider a man who believes God is in control and the effects on him is sloth and irresponsibility. Pwede mangyari yun. Na kinikilala ng isang tao yung control ng Diyos sa kanyang buhay at ang bunga sa kanya ay katamaran at kawalang pananagutan. He retreats into the excuse, well, God will give whatever He shall give. What will be. And in a sense, he acknowledges the control of the sovereign God, but it produces the wrong attitude to him. Pwede mangyari yun. And we should resist that. Look at the opposites of our passage. Many of them are our activities. A time to plant. Who plants? You plant. A time to build up. Who builds up? You build up. You decide that. It's God who mixes. I have seen much of this attitude in ministry. People who lack diligence in service, churches that lack zeal in evangelism, preachers who don't prepare well for preaching, and yet they retreat to that pretext, God will save His elect anyway, or God will bless His word, or God will add the increase no matter what we do. And it is the wrong attitude. When William Carey was still considering the responsibility of mission, he opened his mind in a pastor's fraternal and he told them, let's have for the next fraternal the subject of our responsibility to reach out to the heathen. And the chairman of the fraternal rebuked him with words like this, sit down, young man. When God wills to save the heathen, He will save them without your help or mine. And if William Carey took that attitude, there would have been no missions in India. But that was the attitude that prevailed then and an attitude that still prevails in some, in many Christians. Yung attitude na kung gagawa ang Diyos, gagawa siya, hintayin natin yung kanyang gagawin, hayaan natin siyang gumawa na parang banal pakinggan, subalit mali. maling saloobin. Let us mortify every sloth and irresponsibility on the ground of God's sovereignty, because that is the worst excuse for sloth. We are not spectators of the events that transpire in our lives. And even the events listed in these 14 pairs, you are an active participant, not just a spectator. Instead, the challenge of this in acknowledging the sovereignty of God in the mixture of events is that let us have believing realism. What do I mean by believing realism? Believing realism rejects both, on the one hand, bitter negativity, and on the other hand, blind optimism. Yung naniniwala sa realidad ng soberanong kontrol ng Diyos, tinatanggihan niya yung mapait na saloobin na negatibo. Bitter negativity. It is part of our wisdom to understand and accept that we all share in the mixture of life's events. Consider Job. Under the heaviest of strain when his property was destroyed. And on top of it, his children were wiped out. And then without any sympathy from his wife, she told him, just curse God and die. And how did Job take that onslaught on his life? Listen to him, Job 2 verse 10. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? E dito makikita natin na kinilala ni Job yung pagsasama, yung kombinasyon, yung pagtatambalan ng mabuti at ng mabigat sa buhay. Wala kang karapatang asahan lamang yung mabuti. We sometimes hear the protest, why should this happen to me? But then why not you? And that's where bitter negativity can take over one's life. Bitter negativity is that attitude that takes everything in life as harsh. Severity is his view of life. Sometimes it takes just one single affliction to color everything as black. Just like a woman I heard about who was happy until she was diagnosed with serious illness. And from that time, she became bitter with God until her dying day. No joy. It takes a lot of grace to see something of God's goodness, even when we are being severely tried. Again, we see this in Job, when he took the news of the death of his children. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers in our pleasures and he shouts in our pains. Sometimes it takes pain to get us to listen to God. Where we would not listen to him through the blessings and the pleasures of life, he gets us to listen to him when there is pain and there are afflictions. So there is no way a Christian should be bitterly negative about life. But just as there is no place for bitter negativity, there is no place for blind optimism. Yung bulag na tiwala sa saya ng buhay. There is a school that calls itself positive thinking. And the idea is always be happy. Never think that something bad will happen. But guess what? bad things do happen. And no matter how you make a spin of an event, bad things do happen. Let us not misquote Romans 8:28. It does not say all things are good. What it says is that all things work together for good. For the Christian, for those who love God. But in the all things that work for good, some of those things are bad. And some are really bad. Yes, bad things happen to Christians. Can Christians be victims of crime? Yes. Can Christians be deceived? Yes. Can Christians get sick? Yes. This is the cruelty of the idea that if you have enough faith, you will always get good things. If you're sick, just have enough faith, you will heal. If you have business, just enough faith, you will succeed. And I say that's cruel because how many bedridden Christians have been given the false encouragement, just pray with enough faith, you will heal. And when he does not heal, the sense comes back to him, I don't have faith. When in fact, there are many times when there is more faith in the Christian who accepts that it may not be God's will for him to heal. We see that in one of the prayers, a time to kill, a time to heal. It's not always a time to heal. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. And any view of life that simply tells you it's always about dancing and laughing and healing is a cruel view of life and does not serve well one's faith. God's ways are otherwise. And instead of this sanguine view of life that things are always happy, take or imitate Paul's attitude, Philippians 1:20. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Can you take that attitude? Now, in practical terms, that means we should not limit our service in times when we have unmixed blessings and we are happy. Let us not worship God less when we have a series of negatives in life. And let us not isolate ourselves from the brethren because we feel heavy and lonely. Hindi ganun ang buhay. Tanggapin mo yung paghahalo-halo. At ang pagkasoberano ng Diyos, ang ibig sabihin, siya ang magpapasya kung paano niya paghahaluin. Diba? He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. It's a mixture. We had a mixture of that in our lunch fellowship this morning. We joyfully welcome, we sadly bid farewell. That's life. A mixture of the positive and the negative, the blessing and the affliction, the gain and the pain. If you will only serve God when you're at peace and you're happy, you will not serve God genuinely. If I preach the word only when I feel blessed and happy, there will be many Sundays that this pulpit will be without a preacher. That's not the way we serve God. Listen to the way we are to imitate Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There's the mixture. It's the oddest of mixture in Jesus. Joy, and yet shame of the cross. endurance. And this is something we see in the gospel. The gospel call is of the happiest nature. It calls to salvation. It calls to eternal life. But it is calling those who must go through the conviction of sin. The admission that life without God is sorrow. That's the call of the gospel. Come to Christ under the most heavy weight of your sinfulness. So here is how we get wisdom in our brief life. Accept the mixture of life. It is God who concocts the mixture just right for you. Ang Diyos ang nagtitimpla ng paghahalong nararapat para sa iyong buhay. May mga taong kung minsan tingnan mo yung buhay, parang tila mas marami ang mapait. Parang mas marami ang mga masakit sa kanilang buhay. May mga mananampalatayang kung basdan mo ay tila pinagsama-sama sa kanila mga pagpapala. At iniisip mo na ba't hindi na lang magkakapareho, hindi ganun ang pagkasoberano ng Diyos. Sa halip tanggapin mo't magpasakop ka na siya ay soberano sa kanyang pagpapasya, siya ang nakakaalam ng timplang nararapat para sa iyo. We accept our doctor's advice of what food to avoid and what food to take. And sometimes the food we are asked to avoid are the very food we like most, we crave after. And yet the doctor knows best, we say. Well, God knows best when it comes to the concoction of pain and gain, blessing and affliction, positive and negative. Accept it. That's wisdom. He mixes the opposite events of our lives. And secondly, He schedules appropriate events. So He balances opposite events, but then part of His sovereignty is that He schedules. And I think that's the best word I could think of. He schedules, because it speaks here of God making everything beautiful in its time. It is saying that there is a timing that it is God who knows. May timing, may panahon na ang Diyos nakakaalam at Kanyang iniaangkop sa panahong nalalaman niyang pinakamahusay. And so He made everything beautiful in its time. Now the word used here in the original when applied to people or things has the sense of the beautiful. Later on in Job, we would be told that of the daughters of men, there was none more beautiful than the daughters of Job. And that's the same word used. When applied to people or things, it has the sense of beautiful. But when applied to events, it has the sense of suitability. Or as the word I chose, appropriate. There's a propriety. May pagkanararapat. So the point is that there is a propriety that God knows in His timing of events in the life of His people. May pagkanararapat sa pagpapanahon ng Diyos sa Kanyang pag-schedule ng mga bagay na nangyayari sa ating buhay. But here we have a problem, and we will see more of this next week. Our problem is that our knowledge is so limited. We are told later in this passage, we cannot know God's work from the beginning. May ginagawa ang Diyos pero hindi natin mahulaan, hindi natin ma-anticipate kung anong mangyayari. When an event happens, we see its effects on our immediate life, perhaps a step or two, and then based on that, we feel the event is most untimely, unwelcome. And sometimes we may even feel violated by the event. And we have various words to use. It destroys our plans. It devastates our hopes. It frustrates expectations. It turns dreams into nightmares. May ganyan tayo mga pananalita para sabihin, may nangyari hindi dapat na hindi natin control. And very often it takes quite a while. In some cases, many years before we can look in hindsight And we realize that it was just right for such a time. There can be no better example of this than the cross of Christ. Ask the disciples who gave up their, can you call it, career of fishing to follow Jesus. They put all the stake of their hope and vision that this was the man who will bring the kingdom into Israel. And then 3 years later, there he was hanging on the cross. What could be more a demonstration of failure and disappointment? So what happens to many of them? They went back fishing. It was a disappointment. It could not have happened at a worse time. That's their view. And what they don't realize is that it was the fullness of time that Christ came and died on the cross. It couldn't have been a more appropriate time, but it didn't appear so to the disciples of the time. And how many times something happens to us and we feel it's not right? And why do we say it's not right? Because we know an event or two in relation to that event. How dare we judge God who knows the beginning, the end from the beginning? And the challenge of faith here, brethren, is learn to distinguish between our responsibility for our time and God's sovereignty in events. Pag-ibahin natin yung ano yung responsibilidad natin sa ating panahon at ano yung soberanong pasya ng Diyos sa mangyayari. May mga nangyayaring wala kang magagawa. Ito'y pinahintulot ng Diyos. Ngunit dun sa panahon na ito'y nangyari, meron kang responsibilidad. And this is what I like in the story of Esther. When Haman, as you know the story, conceived of an evil plot to exterminate all the Jews. And Esther, already chosen to be a wife of the king, and Mordecai, her uncle, was challenging her. Anong sabi ni Mordecai sa kanya? Who knows that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Hindi mo ba nalalaman na maaring dinala ka sa kaharian para sa ganitong panahon? In other words, Mordecai was telling her, you will be tempted to retreat into the convenience of safety, not risk because of the time. But this is your responsibility in time. If she retreated into the convenience of the safety of her palace, probably the Jews would be exterminated and we would miss many of the stories that inspire us to this day. Or consider if the attitude prevailed in Martin Luther, he would not nail the 95 Theses. There would be no Reformation. Or as we were following the story of John Calvin, if he found the time of his pastorate in Strasbourg as very convenient, as indeed he found it so, and decided not to go to Geneva, what a loss to the church. But each of these decisions, Esther, Luther, Calvin, and many more, were decisions to stand above the risk of their time, refusing to retreat into the safety of convenience. And that's what achieves, no matter what events take place. Achievements like the Reformation are attained by men and women who take the challenge of their time while submitting themselves to events they cannot control as God's sovereign will. And this is the challenge of our time. We all have the same. What will distinguish is what responsibility you make of it. One writer compared this to somebody investing on your behalf 1,440 pesos every day. If I get it, well, that's a fortune, 1,440 pesos every day. But the arrangement is You must spend every peso, every day. What remains unspent is forfeited. What's the point of the analogy? Well, every day, you and I have 1,440 minutes of 24 hours. Yes, that's what you and I have every day. 1,440 minutes. And every minute that passes will be forfeited. It will not come back. What are you making of your time every day? Your day may be a witness to the passing by of time with responsibility undone, a project undone, another book unread, a service not rendered. That's the story of many. Many choose the way of procrastination. Some other time. Others just watch and regret what they were not able to do. Instead of the adventure of achievement with all its mixture of positive and negative, of pain and gain, of blessings and affliction, some people's time can be summarized in one, a time to age. Mahirap yung ganun. Paghaluin mo naman at magkaroon ka ng makita mo yung sapalaran ng buhay. And even when something bad happens, don't retreat into bitterness, regret, blame. Remember Gracia Burnham? She and her husband, Martin Burnham, had the misfortune of being abducted by the Abu Sayyaf group. And they spent more than a year of captivity. Gracia later on wrote an account of their experience. And the title of the book is In the Presence of My Enemies. I read that book and there were accounts of a graphic nature when they had undergone the most strenuous endurance because of their captivity. Something that you would not want to wish even for your worst enemies. And yet, on the very day of rescue, Martin, her husband, was caught in the crossfire and killed. Can you imagine that? They endured together. They had each other to endure such suffering. And on the day of rescue, her husband died. But Gracia Burnham, in her book, did not show any bitterness. Let me read to you in closing the very last paragraph of that book, her conclusion. She said, "The special people God gives us along the way make us stronger to face the trials of an ugly world. Obviously, I never expected to face something of this magnitude, but I thank the Lord for helping me to endure it. I honor the legacy of a wise and godly man who kept me going, trail after trail, gun battle after gun battle. I value the efforts of all who worked so hard to get me out alive. And I resolve to keep living in the embrace of God's gladness and love for as long as He gives me breath." Now that doesn't sound like an embittered woman for all her experience. And I want to share that faith. And I want to challenge you. Acknowledge God in your time, no matter what the mixture is. And acknowledge that it is a challenge for you to be a participant until that last of our time, a time to die. Let us have that response to every challenge of time, whatever the mixture, and do so day by day. And this is the point of our last hymn. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. And the trust that it challenges us, as the second half of the second verse says, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This is the pledge to me he made. As thy days. We do not know how many are our days, but the promise is how many days you may have in this world, you have sufficient strength if you take it from your God. So let us live for God, not on the special occasions when it's gain, but let us live for God both in pain and in gain, both in blessing and in affliction, positive or negative, believing that he balances opposite events, he schedules appropriate events so that we may live for him day by day. Let's close in prayer. Kinikilala nga namin, Panginoon, ang iyong pagkasoberano sa mga pangyayari sa panahon ng aming maikling buhay. At sa pagkilala nito, huwag nawang mangyari na magbunga pa ng mga maling saloobin, kagaya ng katamaran, kawalan ng responsibilidad sa paniniwalang mangyayari ang mangyayari. Sa halip, Panginoon, ay tulungan mo kami na sa pagkilala ng iyong pagkasoberano ay tanggapin namin ang katotohanan na ikaw ang naghahalo ng mga magkakasalungat ng mga pangyayari. In your sovereignty, you balance opposite events in our lives, and it is to our wisdom that we exercise believing realism, neither allowing bitter negativity nor blind optimism. Sometimes events happen in our lives that tend to color everything as black. And help us, Lord, to resist that attitude and to accept that even in the most trying circumstances of our lives, you do have a good purpose for your people. And at the same time, let us help us to reject blind optimism. May we not take as faith that which thinks it is your will always to heal. It is your will always to make us succeed. It is your will always to make us wealthy. These are the deceits of our time. But instead, there can be more faith in that which accepts that there is a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, a time of pain. And we pray, Lord, that it is at such times that we would not worship you less. We would not serve with less zeal, just because it is painful times. Instead, Lord, just like the Apostle Paul, may we learn to have that attitude that whether by life or by death, Christ shall be magnified in our bodies. And help us to acknowledge that in your sovereignty, you schedule appropriate events in our lives, yet many times because of our short-sightedness, our inability to see the end from the beginning as you do, we tend to feel events as unwelcome, frustrating, very disappointing. And yet you know the right timing of events upon our lives. And help us, Lord, instead to consider and recognize our responsibility for the time that you have given to us. Just like Esther, to be challenged with the words, who knows that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That we would not retreat into the safety of convenience, but learn to risk whatever the challenge of our time. And consider that we do have equal investment of time every day, and it is distinguished by what we do of it as we respond to your challenge. So help us, Lord, neither to be embittered nor to be blinded by false optimism, but instead to simply recognize that of the days that you have given to us, there is a challenge to serve Christ, to serve your cause. And may we not retreat from that challenge by procrastination, by opting to live the life of a spectator. Instead, that we would learn, whatever the mixture of pain or gain, to respond to the challenge of service for your cause and for your glory, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray all these things. Amen.